I'm Sung Jin Lee from Seoul National University in Korea. In this talk, I would like to introduce a novel recovery-aware dynamic throttling technique that guarantees the lifetime of flash-based SSD by exploiting the self-recovery effect of NAND flash memory cell. This paper was written by me, Taejin Kim, and my dear advisor, Professor Jeong Kim. Samsung Electronics also partially supported this work. NAND flash memory-based storage device has been widely used for many mobile embedded applications, such as MP3 player and mobile phone and other portable devices. As the cost per byte of NAND flash memory chip is falling, flash-based SSDs are becoming a viable storage solution for enterprise system, replacing hard disk drive because of its attractive characteristic, such as high performance and low power consumption. For example, PCI Express-based flash array and MLC-based solid-state drive have started to be used in many enterprise systems. Even though flash-based SSD is rapidly deployed in the enterprise environment, the poor write endurance of flash memory is still regarded as a main barrier for wide adoption in enterprise system. Particularly, usually enterprise customer often requires 3 or 5 years lifetime warranty, but this poor write endurance, it is hard to provide a reasonable lifetime that enterprise customer requires. In this slide, I would like to show you the lifetime characteristic of flash-based SSD. Unlike hard disk drive, SSD lifetime is determined by two main factors. The first factor is the total number of bytes that can be written to the SSD, and the second is the number of bytes written per day. The first factor can be rewritten by the product of capacity and the number of P cycle. As expected, as the SSD capacity and the number of P cycle increases, we can write more data to the SSD, and thus it is possible to increase the lifetime of flash-based SSD. And the second factor can be rewritten by product of the incoming write traffic and write amplification factor, sometimes called WAP. The incoming write traffic is the amount of data written to the SSD by a workload, and the write amplification factor represents the efficiency of FTL algorithm, including garbage collection and wear labeling. The lifetime problem in enterprise SSD lifetime problem in enterprise system is mainly due to very intensive write traffic caused by complicated enterprise application logics. For example, for mobile phone and desktop PC, where write traffic is not intensive, we can easily achieve the required lifetime. However, for enterprise server system, where write traffic is very intensive, it is hard to guarantee the reasonable lifetime with SSDs. Another problem that further reduces the SSD lifetime is contiguously decreasing P cycle. This figure shows how the number of P cycle is decreased with advance of NAND flash memory technology. As you can see in this figure, the number of P cycle of SSD flash memory is about 100,000, but this number is reduced to 1,000 with with TLC NAND flash memory. So this figure clearly showed that the SSD lifetime is significantly reduced with the advance of semiconductor technology. In order to prolong the lifetime of SSD, there are lots of studies that improve the endurance of flash-based SSD. The most well-known approach is to reduce the value of WAP by optimizing garbage collection and wear labeling algorithm. Using more fine-grained mapping scheme is one of possible approaches to reduce the value of WAP. More recently, there are lots of research that attempt to reduce the incoming write traffic itself. Results data completion and data duplication is one of example for such an approach. Although these techniques can improve the overall SSD lifetime, but they cannot guarantee the required SSD lifetime because they does not take into account the lifetime management of flash SSDs. So we need to take a different approach. So in order to guarantee the lifetime of flash-based SSD, some SSD vendors started to adopt static throttling technique, which limits the maximum throughput of SSDs, as shown in this figure. Even though static throttling can guarantee the lifetime of SSD, it has some serious disadvantage. First is that it is likely to throttle SSD performance uselessly. For example, during this time period, static throttling limit the maximum bandwidth of SSD because there are lots of traffic from host system. However, in this time period, there are a small number of write. So the throttling during this period is turned out to be unnecessary. And this excessive throttling is resulting in underutilizing the available endurance of flash-based SSD. Now, I would like to introduce our approach for this work. In order to overcome the limitation of static throttling, in this work, we propose a dynamic throttling technique. Dynamic throttling technique throttles SSD performance dynamically depending on the characteristic of given workload, such as write demand, write traffic, and the remaining SSD lifetime, as shown in this figure. So with dynamic throttling, we can throttle SSD performance so that the SSD is completely worn out at the end of required lifetime. By doing so, we can reduce the performance penalty and reduce response time variation while fully utilizing the available endurance of flash-based SSD. Throttling SSD performance inevitably increases the overall response time of storage devices. In this work, we overcome such a limitation by exploiting self-recovery effect of NAND flash memory cell. Many previous studies said that effective P cycles are much less than the numbers on specified by data sheet due to recovery effect. So if we throttle SSD performance based on the number of effective P cycle, we can guarantee the SSD lifetime with less throttling overhead. This is because we can write more data to the SSD during the fixed required lifetime. Now I would like to summarize contribution of this work. In this work, we propose a recovery-aware dynamic throttling technique that provides guaranteed SSD lifetime. In order to reduce the performance penalty caused by performance throttling, we exploit self-recovery effect of NAND flash memory cell. In order to evaluate effectiveness of our ready technique, we have performed several evaluations using real enterprise trace, and our evaluation results show that proposed ready guarantee the required SSD lifetime and achieve 4 times higher response time, achieve 4 times lower response time over static throttling techniques. From this slide, I would like to explain the details of the proposed recovery-aware dynamic throttling technique. I would like to start by summarizing some important goals with Ready. As expected, our first goal is to guarantee the SSD lifetime by throttling performance. As I mentioned before, throttling SSD performance inevitably increased average response time. So our second goal is to determine the throttling delay as low as possible. Minimizing average response time is not sufficient. If the response time variations are significant, the quality of user experience is significantly lowered. So our third goal is to distribute the throttling delay as evenly as possible. To achieve this goal, we have designed Ready with 3 main modules: write demand predictor, throttling delay estimator, and epoch capacity regulator. When there are write requests from host system, throttling layer inside SSD intercepts a write request and then applies some throttling delay. And the delayed write request is sent to the FTL, and FTL finally writes the request data to NAND flash memory chip. In order to determine the throttling delay, write demand predictor estimate the amount of data written to the SSD in the near future by monitoring previous write demand. And then throttling delay estimator determines the throttling delay by using previous predicted future write demand and remaining SSD write time. Apple capacity regulator throttle SSD performance so as to satisfy the required SSD write time. I would like to explain the write demand predictor first. In order to throttle DSS performance properly, it is necessary to know the future write traffic of a workload. As you can see in this figure, unfortunately, the write traffic of enterprise workload changes significantly with time, so it is not easy to know the future write demand in advance. We overcome such a difficulty by exploiting cyclic behavior of enterprise applications. Many previous studies say that there are very strong cyclic behavior in enterprise applications. In order to know what happened in storage system layer, we analyze block device trace collected from enterprise system. And in this figure, we manually set the length of a period from 1 minute to 2 hours. And in this figure, x-axis is the write demand difference between two periods, and y-axis is CDF of write demand difference. As you can see in this figure, when a cyclic period is set to 30 minutes, the write demand difference is less than 30% for about 90 period. For Flux benchmark, for 98% period, write demand difference is less than 20%. So this graph clearly showed that strong cyclical behaviors is frequently observed at the level of a storage device. Based on this observation, we predict future write demand as follows. We first divide the time into epoch that exhibits similar write demand, and then assume that same amount of data that was written during the latest epoch will be written again during the next epoch. This approach is very simple but very effective as shown in the previous slide. Now, I would like to show you how throttling delay estimator determines a throttling delay. In order to determine a throttling delay estimator uses two kinds of information. The first one is future write demand for the next epoch, and as you know, we already know that. Second one is the epoch capacity, which represents the amount of data allowed to be written during the next epoch. For fairness, in our implementation, the epoch capacity is determined by dividing the product of number of remaining P cycle and SS capacity by the number of remaining epoch. This means that all the remaining epoch equally share the available endurance of flash-based SSD. Now we know that how many data will be written to the SSD during the next epoch, and we also know the amount of data that is allowed to be written during the next epoch, so we can determine the throttling delay. In ready, a throttling delay is initially set to zero and changes adaptively. For example, if the future write demand is equal to the epoch capacity, it's not necessary to change a throttling delay because the SSD is properly throttled. If the write demand is less than the epoch capacity, it is necessary to increase the throttling delay so as to reduce the amount of data written to the SSD for the guaranteed SS write time. And finally, if the write demand is smaller than epoch capacity, we can reduce its throttling delay so that more data can be written to the SSD because we have a sufficient endurance for the next epoch. We repeat this decision at the beginning of every epoch. Until now, we assume that the number of P cycle is fixed to a certain number, but As I mentioned before, the damage caused to NAND flash memory cell by repeated P cycle can be partially recovered during the idle time. This means that the number of effective P cycle is much larger than preset P cycle. So it means that we can write more data for the entire SS write time while reducing the performance degradation caused by throttling. The next question is how to estimate the effective P cycle. We first of all, we perform a self-recovery effect validation using real NAND flash memory path. In the right figure of this slide, x-axis is the number of P cycle and y-axis is bit error rate. Vertical two lines show the 24-hour idle time. As you can see in this figure, when we perform P cycling without idle time, BR is rapidly increased as shown in this figure, and after the relatively long idle period, we can observe that BR is also greatly reduced. In order to make the effective P cycling model, we have used two previous model. The damage model was presented by Hasluj 2010, and self-recovery model was presented by Intel. This figure shows the effective P cycle depending on the length of idle time. Please note that maximum number of P cycle without recovery effect is about 3K. As you can see here, the effective P cycles are increases with length of idle time. For example, when the average idle time is 10,000, the number of effective P cycle is close to 7,500. The throttling delay estimator monitors the average idle time at runtime and then use that value to obtain effective P cycle so as to determine the epoch capacity for the next epoch. Now, I would like to show you how epoch capacity regulators throttle assess the performance for the guaranteed SS lifetime. Epoch capacity regulator, the goal of the epoch capacity regulator is to throttle SS write performance using predetermined throttling delay, but in order to reduce the response time variation, it tried to throttle write performance as evenly as possible. For this purpose, we first apply the same length of throttling delay to every phase write request. As shown in this figure, for each phase write, the same length of throttling delay has been applied. The problem of this approach is that the data written to the SSD can be less than the predetermined epoch capacity. In this case, 32 kilobyte data has been written to SSD, which is less than 24 kilobyte. In this case, it is hard to guarantee the SS lifetime. Our approach is very simple. We just write the data during a certain epoch and then increase the throttling delay slightly so as to reclaim overused capacity during the previous epoch. Now I would like to show you our evaluation result. We have used disk-based SSD simulator with 20 nanometer 2-bit MS NAND flash memory whose P cycle is about 3K and the target SSD lifetime is set to 5 years. We have evaluated 4 SSD configuration. NT is the SSD configuration that does not use performance throttling. This means that NT cannot guarantee the required SS lifetime. ST is a static throttling and TT is a dynamic throttling technique without considering to recovery effect of NAND flash memory, and ready is the proposed recovery of your dynamic throttling technique. We have used 5 traces from MSR Cambridge and MS production benchmark. The duration of each trace is from 6 hours to 1 week. And the capacity of SSD is set was set differentially depending on the light demand of trays. Now, this figure showed our lifetime analysis result. As expected, NT cannot guarantee the required SS lifetime, as you can see in this figure. In the case of project trays, NT can guarantee the NT can achieve lifetime more than 5 years. This is because project trays is not light intensive workload. Unlike NT, ready achieve the lifetime close to 5 years. The lifetime 5 years, and DTST and DT exhibit the lifetime much longer than 5 years. But this means that ST and DT works better than ready because they obtain very long SSD lifetime by excessively throttling the performance of SSD. This figure showed our performance analysis result. As you can see in this figure, NT showed the best performance on among all the configuration. Ready performed worse than NT, but it performed better than ST and DT with guaranteed SS lifetime. One of the interesting observation is that DT showed the better response time. This is because DT dynamically changes throttling delay depending on the light pattern and light demand, and as well as the remaining SS lifetime. This figure shows the response time variation for proxy exchange and MSNF traces. As you can see, ready showed the shorter response time than ST and DT. One of the important observation is that ST exhibits significant response time variation because it stops lighting when there are too much light traffic from the host. This figure shows the response time variation for other two traces, project and map. Unfortunately, light traffic of project map is changed significantly with the time, so it is hard to predict the future light demand. This is the reason why ready and DT exhibit relatively high fluctuation on response time. But as you can see in this figure, the performance response time variation of ready DT is much stable than static throttling. Now I would like to conclude my presentation. In this work, we propose a recovery-aware dynamic throttling technique that guarantees the SS lifetime. And by exploiting self-recovery effect, the proposed ready technique can achieve higher performance of a static throttling technique with less response time variation. As future work, we are currently implementing the proposed ready in real SSD platform, and we also have a plan to implement a latency-aware performance throttling technique that consider important request or not important request for performance throttling. Thank you so much.
Chadash Trik from SanDisk. Your recovery model is using the PE cycles or the timing in between them, and the flash translation layer has the best knowledge of when the stress events are happening to each block. So if I would implement this scheme, I would have done it inside the FTL. So I am curious about why you decided to implement it outside the FTL module.
We currently use, you mean that how to measure the effective P cycle?
You can do the throttling either at the where you described, you know, you can block the writes before they come to the FTL, also throttle them inside FTL before you really go and write to the NAND memory, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And the FTL layer has a better knowledge of what the PE cycle of each block is.
Yeah, yeah.
When was the last program event happened? When was the last erase event happened? So why did, so to me it looks like it's better to implement this inside FTL. So I'm just asking, why did you choose to do otherwise, to put it outside?
I'm sorry, I couldn't understand exactly.
So, you know, with the wear leveling, the various blocks get updated at roughly the same amount. Of course, it differs, and for ideal, you know, for the ideal calculation of what the throttling should be, yes, should be within FTL. But you can get a good idea outside as well, and you have more compute, more flexibility outside, so that may be one reason.
So suppose I'm a software developer and I had an oopsie and accidentally ran the flash drive as fast as possible for a while before I noticed. Can I get rid of all my extra speed out of your system by accident in a couple weeks?
Could you repeat your question?
Sorry, I'm so sorry. Too much color. So suppose you have an error that causes the enterprise application to really use all, you know, run as fast as possible against the flash drive, and that's going to consume a lot of your sort of capacity for faster speed. Can that cause a problem later on?
I'm sorry.
Never mind. Sorry.
Thank you.